Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is 9:08, Tuesday morning, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We will have Tee Off Tuesday coming up, and what you want to talk about. But guests in studio, and they brought gifts. Oh, you guys know how to work it. Raven hockey is something you're going to hear a lot about. And I had said before the break, I guess if you have a son or daughter playing 05, 06, 07, somewhere, if they're a young, you know, what are we talking, novice, maybe first year Adam, but Timbit, then you're going to want to catch some of this. As in studio, I feel like we were just talking. I talked to you last week, the marathon, the hockey marathon out in Chestermere. 2 million. Well done, by the way. Dan Pilling, one of the volunteers and organizers with that, is here in studio along with Sean Riley. And I thought this was a joke. Like, honestly, and I don't mean that to be, but because people that listen to this show, they get things and they never forget things and they hang on to things. But legitimately, we have in studio this morning the one and the only.
He's got his own theme music.
Guillermo Salazar. Now, how did this even start? Because it was Warner was at an event one time. You can grab the mic here. He was at some kind of an event, and did you guys, he was on your hockey team or something?
Yeah, I played in the fall in the face-off against cancer tournament.
Right.
And our team, we raised enough money to bid. It's a draft.
Basically. Yeah, yeah.
Based on how much money you raise, you get a draft. And we drafted somewhere near the bottom.
Yeah.
And that got us
Warner. Yeah, that's what'll happen.
And consequently, you know, Warner's a bit of a personality. And so we were kind of going back and forth. And I kind of, I may have poked the bear a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, well, the rest is history.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, was that just this last year?
This last fall, yeah.
That's crazy because it seems like you've been part of the lexicon here for years.
Well, I do have an attachment.
Yeah, we get texts about, where's Guillermo Salazar? So you're an actual human being, so there's
hope. And people ask me often if I'm associated with the character on the radio.
Yeah.
And I was the inspiration.
Yeah. So you guys are in here today. I have a son who is, and because I got the email, and I actually saw you guys on Twitter.
Yes.
Which is how it came, Twitter's everybody's life now. And I saw this product, this Raven. It's a hockey stick for young kids. It's, you know, it's lighter and easier. Strikes a chord. My kid is a skinny guy and having trouble getting a stick that works for him. It's too long. We got to cut it. Then it's like a board. You guys, I guess, through your kids and your experience with minor hockey, thought there's got to be a better way. So Sean or Dan, whoever wants to start, you guys have created a stick that is not for adults. It's not for teenagers. It is for kids.
Yeah, I guess the easiest way to explain it would be that we basically discovered a pocket in the hockey stick world. You have youth sticks and then kids grow into junior sticks. As they improve, they sort of go into that junior hockey stick. So they go from a 30, 35 flex stick and then they grab a junior stick, which is a 50 flex stick. But they end up cutting probably 6, 8, 10 inches off that stick,
yeah,
turning a 50 flex stick into an 80 flex stick. The general rule of flex for hockey is that you should be using flex that's less than half your body weight. Alex Ovechkin uses an 80 or 85 flex stick.
Yeah.
200 pound man. Like all the guys that I play hockey with use 100 pounds or 100 flex sticks.
So your 8-year-old should not be using the same flex as Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah. And that my kid, my little guy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
My kid Chase is not strong enough to use an 85 flex junior stick. And that's sort of where we started doing some homework. And Sean's son Jack was sort of the first one of those.
Yeah. So Jack's, he's 11 now.
Yeah.
By the time he was 7. And we did just that. We went from a youth stick to a junior stick. And it was that next day that he played with that stick.
Yeah.
He couldn't shoot. He couldn't pass. He couldn't accept the pass. Everything went backwards.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, we've done something wrong here. So I did a bit of research, looked at Flex, and I went back to the store and I said, okay, you know, what should I have bought? And they said, well, we use a, you know, sort of a measure of, you know, less than half your body weight. And as Dan was talking about, I said, okay, my kid weighs 40 pounds.
Where's the 20 flex sticks?
Where's the 20 flex?
Yeah.
And they gave me this perplexed look.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have that.
Yeah.
Like, the lowest we have is 50.
Yeah.
I said, well, my kid weighs 40 pounds. This half rule doesn't work.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you cut the inches off and you're going backwards. The other, you know, Alex Ovechkin's a good one, you know, 220 pounds,
sure.
You know, 80 flex. The other one is Brett Hull, another guy, 200, yeah. 210, 215 pounds, used a 65 flex.
Yeah, and he could whip it.
Exactly. And that yeah. was the thing, right? And then so what we're also seeing is, so we went through a number of, you know, different thoughts of how do we do this? How do we make this right? And we looked at doing a University of Calgary research project.
Yeah.
And actually, that's how Guillermo got into it. So
yeah,
so
I was wondering where this character came in.
Salazar. Well, there's a number of there's a number of different things going on here. So,
yeah.
So all three of us have boys that have played on the same hockey team, and we all live in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
But Guillermo gave a suggestion to look at University of Calgary, and we did a research project.
Okay.
And we found that we were onto something. And that was something for us that really made a difference. Not just to say that, you know, this myopic view that we thought we were doing a better job, but we actually knew we were doing a better job.
Yeah. Because it's funny how we're a little slow on the uptake sometimes. We go to Timbits and, okay, well, now we've got them using blue pucks and they're lighter than the regular pucks because, after all, they're kids.
Yeah.
But then, you know, what about the stick, right? And yeah. now you guys have kind of found that there as well. So now I know in reading the email there, you guys applied for a grant and got it, and then now we're into full swing. How do you go about getting a stick made? What do you do?
Yeah, it was, and that was part of the challenge is we couldn't just make a stick, right? Because you can go to any number of manufacturers in China and they'll make you a stick.
Yeah.
But they don't make a better stick. And you know, the manufacturers in China are really good at making the sticks they already make. But when you email them asking for a 20 flex stick, that's something they won't do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something they don't know how to do, and they weren't really willing to. So that was part of the progress is trying to find the right manufacturer. And it took a good 4 years to find that.
Yeah.
And so we've got the right manufacturer. We also had to make a better stick. Because we don't have a name behind us, we don't have sponsorships, we don't have a brand. We don't have, you know, Jonathan Toews playing with our
yeah.
adult version of our stick. We don't have that. Sorry, did I say Jonathan Toews?
Yeah, you're all right. All right. Yeah, you got it.
Not to be confused with Carl Toews.
Right.
Totally different guy.
Or Vic Toews, the Manitoba politician, right?
There we go.
So it needed to be better. And so we found a manufacturer out of Mexico. Most of the pro sticks from Easton and Warrior are all being made out of Mexico now. You know, the best of the best.
Yeah.
So we found a manufacturer there, and what we realized is we had to make a technically superior stick, and that's what we've done.
So how many failed prototypes until you get the one that you realize, okay, this is the one that we're happy with?
Yeah, we've had four for sure.
Yeah.
We had one that was really wild. It was completely different. It was a different design. We had a patent on it. It worked. But it just was too weird. It was just too difficult. It was too difficult to develop beyond a prototype.
Yeah.
You know, so my original one costs, you know, X dollars. But, you know, to go further with it would have cost $100,000 to prototype.
Yeah.
And we weren't even sure if it was the right one. But that being said, we've found the right stick.
And when we did find the right one, we went to my friend of yours, friend of the show, friend of the hockey marathon,
yeah.
Josh Esler at Pro Skate.
Yeah.
And I said, Josh, I want to show you something to see if we're onto something. And Josh said, yeah, I think you are.
Yeah.
Which is exciting for us. We've finally gone that far to the point where today is the day that our Raven sticks will be in Pro Skate stores.
Is that right? So today's the day.
Yeah. So pretty exciting for us to be there for people that have been asking us when Ravens will be available.
Yeah.
Today is that day.
It's Raven Hockey. You can find them on Twitter at
Raven Hockey.
At Raven Hockey. The website is
ravenhockey.com.
Ravenhockey.com. And I know on there you can kind of see the reasoning and the different lies and all that. And that's the thing. Right now, again, just kind of breaking in. Different lengths, sizes. I guess walk us through what you have right now available to the public.
Well, the difference with us is that the Raven is a shorter length than a junior stick. It has all the properties of a junior stick with the flex of a youth stick. It's got that 20 flex. So.
Yeah.
But it's also shorter than a junior stick, so you don't have to cut that flex off.
Yeah,
which is what most people what happens with everyone when they buy a junior stick. So you'll be grabbing a 20 flex stick off the rack and cutting very little of it, so you'll have that feel that pro players get.
Yeah. So now when those kids grab the stick. and they got to bend it, right? Every kid's got to grab the stick off there and bend it.
You
they're,
bet.
They're actually going to be able to bend it. Unlike my sorry little kid who grabs a stick. It's like, you, number one, you don't know why you're doing that. And number two, you're not doing anything with it. But they're going to feel something different. Now, for you, your contribution to this was kind of the getting into the, you know, UFC and finding this. As far as testing this stick. Okay, so we've got a 20 flex stick. We like it. Well, you can't test it and you can't test it. We need a kid. We got to get a kid to test it. So how do you, you know, how do you find your guinea pig for this process?
Well, we live in a neighborhood full of kids.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So you literally go and dig some kids up.
Them up, exactly.
And fire out some pucks. And what was the initial reaction or I guess the result, which well, you're
really,
more?
Yeah, it's really special to, you know, tell the story is that, you know, UFC is a hub for all this biomechanic engineering and product development.
Yeah.
So TaylorMade's out of there. Adidas is out of there. Nike's out of there.
Sure.
Lots of companies rely on the facilities that are there, and so basically made a connection with. I play hockey with a guy who runs that shop, and made a connection with them. And basically, we drummed up kids in the neighborhood, brought them out there, and they did all sorts of camera angle and slow mo, and really studied the shot of the puck and how they did it, and it worked out really well.
Yeah,
we were able to test the hypothesis and prove it out. It was pretty exciting.
So you've got the stick, you're happy with it. We're gonna do. Mm-hmm. It's gotta look good. And it seems, you know what, watching golf right now, right? You could have the best driver or the best anything in golf, but unless it looks good, guys aren't going to buy it. And it's the same thing here. Unless the stick looks cool, man, the kid isn't going to use it.
For sure.
How, in terms of style and, you know, just the look of the stick and the look of the logo and all that, how did you come to put all that together?
I guess lots of trial and error. It took us quite a while to sort of come to what we wanted, and that was some feedback that we got from Josh. He said, the story is right. It makes a lot of sense, the flex and everything that goes into it. But if it doesn't look good, kids aren't going to pick it up off the shelf. So we took a lot of time playing with that and to make sure that it was something that sort of would jump out. And we got a pretty good feeling this weekend. We went to COP there. There was a tournament going on.
Yeah.
And we just walked through COP with one of the Ravens in our hands. And it was like everyone was... It was like I was holding a puppy. Everyone was staring at, what is that?
Yeah, right.
It was a pretty gratifying feeling for us.
Yeah.
I think we're onto something, and it looks good, and it's definitely, it's better for kids, and it looks great.
Because I agree with you 100%. I think this is one of those ones, if their dad goes to pick up this stick or whatever, kids are going to be, what is that? It has that good look. I'm going to take a picture and throw it on my Twitter. So what's the, obviously you want to be the biggest kid stick company in the world, but how do you, like, we're in the store today, that's a huge success story, so how do you continue to build? You're not a multi-million dollar company. It's going to be kind of baby steps, but what is the realistic next step for you guys?
Yeah, so the plan is that we're going to build through our retailers, right? So our first one in is Pro Skate, Josh in town here, down in Marteloup, but beyond that we have an agreement with Sports Excellence, so they're a buying group.
Gotcha.
Josh is one of them. And basically, they have 125 stores across Canada. And we have an agreement with them. And we're going to start building that one at a time. The challenge there is that they are individual. They're all individually owned. So we have to contact them individually and have to sort of convince them individually. So that's our challenge. Beyond that, we also have an agreement to do a pilot project with Source for Sports. So right away, we're going to be talking to Adrenaline and Tuxedo. So we're talking with both of them and go forward.
Well, both of those companies are so committed to minor hockey and community, you know, the community thing. Hopefully that goes well for you. What's the price point? That's the other thing. How do you decide we got to make some money, but we got to be at a point where people are going to be willing to lay out some dough?
Absolutely, yeah. And again, back to Dan's point. So what we've built is we haven't built a youth stick. We've built a junior stick for younger players. So we wanted to be right in that junior stick market. So junior sticks range from $89 to $300.
Yeah.
And we knew that being a new company and being for younger players, we had to be in the bottom of that. So we came in at $99.
Yeah.
So the MSRP on the stick is $99. What you're getting is literally a pro quality stick. In the factory, it's made right next to other pro sticks. All carbon, all fiberglass, all Kevlar. So it's a combination of the three of those. So what you're getting, when you pick it up and touch it, you see that it's light. You know, it's got a dual foam core blade.
Yeah.
Just like the pros do. It's got everything you need.
Well, and I know it's kind of an embarrassing thing too for parents. It's like, well, I gotta give my kid a stick. Well, what do you get them? Well, I'm not spending that on that. I don't know what I'm getting. Like, I've got about three or four at home, like you, Sean. Mm-hmm. He can't use it. Right. He's got one, and the other thing too is that, like, what is it, the circumference or the thickness of the stick? He's got to be able to get his hand around this thing. Well, this yes. is the same thickness that I would use or you would use, so that one's sitting in the corner. And this one, like you say, I've taken about a foot off the top of the shaft of it, so that one's no good because he can't do anything with it.
Yep.
I think it's a neat kind of a lesson, even just for parents to figure out, okay, well, it's more than just going in. Which one do you like? Which one has the nicest paint job on it?
Right.
And then, okay, take it to the till and pay for it to keep Son happy.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to make Son happy is having a stick that he can maybe whip a little bit when he gets out there and get it up off the ice.
Absolutely. You have right? that touch, that feel. That's what we're looking for.
So how were the kids when they tried this thing out? They must have been jacked. Hey?
Yeah, my son Chase has been using the prototype, which is, it's not as... It doesn't have all the lipstick
yeah,
in our
yeah.
final product, and he loves it. He's been firing the puck, and it's inspired him to shoot more. And,
sure.
and it's good on so many levels. And now that he sees the finished product, he wants to put the prototype away so he can get the really
he
nice
wants the nice one, right?
But
well, if so, only he knew somebody that had some pull, right?
Exactly.
He could maybe get it done.
Well, you know how it is. Like if you ever grew a bad golf swing, and you try and unlearn a golf swing.
Yeah.
It's brutal. So these kids are all learning how to shoot improperly because they can't put any sort of flex in the stick.
Yeah.
But now they've got a product that can actually become a better shooter, where it just as simply is, it's not possible
yeah.
with all the other products in the marketplace.
My kid's half bent over doing everything he can to muster up all the strength in his body to try and get it in the top shelf. It is painful to watch.
Or the dreaded flick shot.
Yeah.
I've coached novice Adam kids for years now.
Shooting
and
from the
they can't flex it, they flick
yeah,
it. And
right from their toe. Yeah. Where you're yeah. not supposed to shoot the puck, just trying to flip it to get it in the top.
See me
shelf,
shelf that? Yeah, that was great.
That was awesome. Pro Skate Marta Loop. Today's yeah. the day. Go and see Josh. He's back at work today, right?
I don't know if he'll be walking around with his sore feet, but I'm sure he'll be there today.
He had told me maybe Tuesday, maybe after the long weekend. So that's the first one. When this goes, you know, international, you'll be able to say Pro Skate Josh and Marta Loop was the first place that sold it.
Yep.
And go and pick one up for your kid today. And if nothing else, go and see it. Because to see it on the website, you get an appreciation. But until you have it in your hands and you look at it, it's like, this is a neat product. It's light. It's the circumference is great. And like you say, there's no chopping. There's no hacksaw needed here. It's just it's the right. Great idea, boys. Best of luck. I think it's awesome.
Best of luck to you. Thanks very much, Boomer.
Even you, Guillermo.
Appreciate it.
Well, even you, right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. 925, Raven Hockey is, I should mention, we've been talking about this. What is it? What the hell are you talking about? Raven Hockey, it's the Raven stick. It's designed for kids, Timbit, novice aged, and maybe, I suppose, even a little bit into Adam, but more or less that the younger kid that's having a hard time. RavenHockey.com, Raven Hockey on Twitter, easy to find, and now at Pro Skate. Well done, boys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talking golf right now. This is Tee Off Tuesday with Ryan Pinder. Only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is 9:30 on your Tuesday morning. You know what that means. We are talking golf. That is a great thing. It is Tee Off Tuesdays brought to you by our great friends at Speargrass Golf Course, where every day is a great day. As Boomer mentioned earlier in the show, the boys in the big show will be out there later this summer. So we'll have to go out and interrupt their broadcast from Speargrass on Friday, May 30th. We are pleased to be joined by the head pro of River Spirit Golf Course, Jay Anderson. Morning, Jay.
Morning, Rick.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How about yourself?
Well, hey, this is golf season. We're finally getting some weather. May long kind of stunk a little bit with the rain, but we're into things now, aren't we?
We are, and it actually looks like we might get a few days of sunshine here, so we're excited to say the least.
Well, that's great. Tell us first off, before we get into the shape of the course and all that stuff, Mike Weir is still playing golf, is this right? It seemed like he had returned from golf seasons past.
I think you're definitely right. It's wonderful to see him healthy again, which I think has been, you know, kind of part of his despair. We haven't seen him for a few years, so, you know, that was fantastic to see him play that good this weekend, and obviously, with his history, we know he can close, and I think he proved that again. You know, he was pretty darn solid down the stretch there and managed to make himself a pile of money.
It's true. He didn't exactly fade there. The all four rounds were, I think, 68 or better. A really solid showing. Did you think this was possible? I think a lot of people had said, that's too bad. He's on the wrong side of that 40 years, and, geez, I don't know if he'll be back again. Did you really believe he could come back, given all the changes and all the tweaks with minimal results since 09?
I mean, it's always difficult, and I mean, there's always doubt there. It's really going to boil down to, you know, I think it proves what kind of person Mike is. Obviously, he doesn't need the money. He's got nothing to prove, but I think he proved he's got a ton of desire, and he's still a real fighter, and he is healthy, obviously, for the first time. And so with all the pieces together, you know, you look at the smile on his face and the look in his eyes, it looks like he's still pretty hungry. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some more good play from here in the near future.
It'd be great to see that Canadian contingent. If he's in there, we know Graham Dillette's going to be a guy in the hunt for years to come. It's nice to have a couple guys. I remember it was Ames and Weir at one point, but it seems like there's more in the mix now.
No question. I mean, if we look at it, there's definitely the chance in the near future that the final group on Sunday one day could be all Canadians. And whether it's a twosome or a threesome for that matter, as far as you still got David Hearn out there, you know, and a couple other players that, you know, have had some good results. But for sure, you know, you look at Weir and Dillette, and there's definitely a great chance one Sunday that we could see them battling out for a title. And how great would that be?
Interesting, kind of a bit of a segue from Dillette to Tiger Woods, because the surgery that Tiger has undergone is what Dillette underwent earlier in his career, and Tiger Woods was out publicly speaking that, okay, he doesn't yet have a date where he's going to be back and playing, but he did have some reservations and concerns about his career moving forward. Those have been pushed aside with the surgery. He seems to be really happy with it.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you know, Tiger's kind of in that same boat as far as, you know, when we talk about Mike Weir being injured. I mean, obviously, he'll get healthy and has the best care possible. And so he'll get back as quick as he can. It'll be a question of motivation, right, as far as how long does he want to play? How long is he motivated to keep going after titles? Obviously, there'll be a ton of doors open up for that guy when he decides not to play golf.
Full-time,
you know, design work or whatever it is, everyone will be after Tiger Woods.
No question. What do you think is pushing him? Is it that majors record? Is that the thing that you think?
Absolutely. No question, buddy. I think hammer and nail right there. You know, when you looked at him first coming out, he's always wanted to beat Jack's records, and the number one record that he wants is Jack's major record. So I think you're completely right in that. That's what drives him. Completely, that's what drives him to keep going and keep trying to win golf tournaments.
What's a realistic timeline for him? Because Dillette, it took a long time for him to get back, and Tiger was very, very optimistic. Oh, I want to be back soon. I think I might be able to be back by Tournament X, but he seems to be backing off any of those hard timelines.
Yeah, and I mean, I think when we talk about a back for sure, and especially that surgery, and you look what Graham went through, there really, you know, there is no timeline. It's a, you know, test it and try it and see how you feel the next day sort of scenario. And I mean, I think you'll be lucky to see Tiger Woods play in another major this season, you know, to be perfectly honest. He may surprise us. He is Tiger Woods after all, but I think that he'd be awful lucky if he got to play, you know, even the PGA in August this year.
U.S. Open around the corner. What do we make of the setup this year, and who would you be wagering upon if you did so?
You know what? It's such a great golf tournament, and the cream always rises to the top. To the top, as far as, you know, is someone going to have a fantastic week like Rory did a couple years ago and run away with it, or is it going to be more of a battle of attrition? I think we're going to vote number two on this one. I think it's going to be a battle right to the end, and it's going to, who's going to survive, you know, the test and who can be patient. You know what? You could pick a veteran that's playing really well, because it's obviously going to take some patience. You know, I think of the name Jim Furyk, who's kind of had a resurgence this season. He would be a good name to look. Somebody very steady, hits it down the middle, you know, doesn't get too flustered. It's going to be that kind of player that wins the Open, no question.
I don't know if you saw this, Jay. An 11-year-old Lucy Lee has qualified for the U.S. Women's. 11 years old? You've qualified for the U.S.? What are you talking about?
It's amazing, isn't it? And I think, you know what, the trend is, it's here to stay, and we're only going to see it more. I mean, it's getting younger and younger, and 11th pushing the boundaries, but, right, they're getting into the game faster. You know, they're getting more prepared with coaching and preparation and all that fun stuff, and you're going to see it on every level, and we're only going to see it more and more, right? I mean, probably not quite to that level on the PGA Tour as far as 11, but if you look at Jordan Spieth at 20 and what he's doing, it's, you know, youth is here to stay, and they're competitive, no question.
That is absolutely unfathomable. Imagine elementary school or Women's U.S. Open. That is absolutely stunning. I thought Michelle Wee was pushing it at 14, right?
Yeah, it is amazing, exactly. Like you said, I hope there's no rain delays that day, because, you know, the flight may get extended past her bedtime.
That's right, of course. She has to be tucked in and have her parents reading a book to her by 9.
Exactly. So. We can still be out there.
Very good. How's the state of the course out at River Spirit? Because we know that flooding's affected almost every course in the Calgary area. You guys had to make some changes on the fly. How has it been early season 2014?
Yeah, no question. I mean, from the floods in 2013, we've healed up completely, and you'll hardly see anything as far as, you know, we have 9 holes down there along the Elbow River, and the boys have done a wonderful job in the fact that you'll probably not be able to notice. However, you know, the biggest concern for us is what we have to come, right? We drive out here to the west every day and look at the snowpack on the mountains, and obviously that's a concern for us as far as rain that's coming or any melt is going to fill that elbow again, and, you know, we definitely lost a bunch of golf course due to erosion, and there's not a lot left there, so we're hoping Mother Nature takes it easy on us because we don't have a whole lot more golf course to give her.
This has got to be a common conversation with yourself and fellow pros around Southern Alberta, because it's a common problem, and I wonder how much you guys sort of got together and said, okay, how are you solving these problems? What do you do here? I'm looking for a temporary bridge. Did you see a lot of communication between the courses last summer?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. A lot of communication, you know, and some sharing of equipment and staff when you're able to, and, you know, ideas from courses that have been through it before, for sure it's paramount. And moving forward and deciding, you know, are you going to go down the same path or can you make a change and hopefully forecast that it's, you know, that you can improve it in the future. But obviously, we really don't know what Mother Nature ever has to hold for us. You know, you learn a little bit from every flood, but no two are the same. Like we said, you know, we thought 05 would be the worst we ever saw, and then the one last year was, you know, for us and flood levels down below was double. So, you know, we're just hopeful that we don't get any worse than that because, you know, we're going to have pump houses and all kinds of stuff underwater for the next one, which really scares us. So.
Yeah, and you know what? I was drove through the mountains on the way to and from Windermere on the weekend. There is a lot of snow out there.
There is a ton of snow out there. All that early, you know, the May rainfall here and that early snowfall in May is still up in the mountainside. And that's what we worry about more than anything, right? It's when that melt comes, if it happens too fast, that's what gets us, right? So obviously we will be nervous golf course operators here for the next 4 weeks as that stuff continues to melt and fill up the elbow.
Tell us what you did last year when the flood was gone but the damage was there, because I know you've got, what, 27 holes there?
We have 27 holes, and obviously we have 2 of our 9s that are down right along the Elbow River Valley that are completely unplayable when we flood. So what we do is we turn those 2 courses, they have part of their 9s up top out of the river valley, and we combine those 2 to make 9 holes, and we join it with our other 9, and we kind of make a makeshift 18, and are able to operate even when we do have, you know, flood closures. So we're one of the fortunate ones for sure that we're able to do that, you know, and keep people employed and still keep the staff and still have golfers and members out and all that fun stuff. So fortunate in that we're able to do that.
For sure. Jay, if people want to call you for some tee times and all that, what's the number to do so?
Yeah, for sure. Tee time line is 403-247-4837. And, you know, any time a week in advance, we'd love to have them.
All right. Thanks so much for your time, Jay.
Appreciate it.
All right, that is Jay Anderson, the pro from River Spirit Golf Course. Got to get out there again. That was good stuff. And as mentioned earlier, Boomer and I are thinking about maybe interrupting the afternoon show. May 30th, Pat Steinberg and Rob Kerr are live from Speargrass, and they'll be doing their show from out there. So why not go and interrupt things? That would probably be a good idea. This has been Tee Off Tuesdays from our good friends at Speargrass Golf Course, where every day is a great day. If you want to get out there, tee times 403-901-1134, or click online at speargrass.ca. All the information you're going to need to get yourself out there. It's a short season, folks. Get out there and do it now while the sun is a shining. It's a great week ahead. We'll come back with what you want to talk about to close your Tuesday morning. Might feel like a Monday on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
9:44 Tuesday morning. NHL postseason takes a break tonight. Back at it tomorrow. Only the second time since the playoffs started.
That's right. We had that break between, round 2 and 3, I believe?
We'll make it. We'll find a way.
Yeah, and if you really need the hockey, you've got Oil Kings and Valdor Fleur for MasterCard Memorial Cup action tonight, 5 o'clock, Sportsnet West.
There you go.
Jays are on Sportsnet 1. They open a 3-game set with the Bo Sox, if you're just determined to watch sports on TV tonight.
That's right. The boys from Raven Hockey here in studio, thanks to them for coming in. Good luck. I love it when there's someone that's got a new idea and they're local, and it's like when you're right at the ground, they got
grassroots.
They've got one stick that they're showing to people, and they got a few that they can sell. Well, let's get it out there and let's see what we can do. I think it'd be crazy cool if you know, just these three guys from their neighborhood thought of this product, and then all of a sudden, because I think it is a winner. I think that it does look good, and I think that kids are going to want it.
I don't know that there's a city where you see the entrepreneurial spirit that you do in Calgary, anywhere else in the country.
And then what we'll do is we'll take complete credit.
We will, and they'll either give a slice, or we'll just be really bitter about them blowing up and being gazillionaires.
Well, we did get a hat and a shirt.
That's true. We got swagged out.
Yeah, it's nice.
They brought one extra large and one large shirt. I don't know which you want to, if there's one.
Shut up.
Okay.
9:45, one of the texts coming in on the fan feedback line. What's the address of this Raven stick retailer? Ravenhockey.com. Raven Hockey.
Not a street address.
Give it a Google website. Yeah, give it a Google, and you'll be able to find whatever it is you need. Give it a Google. You're already chuckling. It feels like it's too soon to go to this. I can't do this for almost 20 minutes.
You have to.
What else can we... is there anything else going on? Like, is there anything...
I just thought, you know what? Like, the one thing we didn't get to there in Portsline that we broached but we didn't get to, like, what do you do if you're Jarmo Kekalainen? With Ryan Johansson. Do you go bridge or do you go long-term big money? He's had one good year. I love the kid.
Yeah, you try and bridge him. And for them, hey, if you bridge him and then he continues to explode, then you pay him.
Yeah, it's not like they're up against badly.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're a perennial 30-40 goal guy that we're going to have to pay? Good.
Great. That's why we took you fourth.
We've had one of you ever, and now we've got another. We'll gladly pay you. And if you missed that, Aaron Portsline, what else do we have today? Elliot Friedman, Stephen Brunt, Aaron Portsline, Eric Duhatchik, all of it you can find on our website.
It's a good day.
Right?
There we go.
Just not yet.
Right.
But that's okay. You know what? Honestly, I prefer that because, you know, DeForest is not here today because apparently he's Johnny Holidays.
You get 1,000 weeks a year.
You're taking it
because he takes one day at the end of a long weekend. We're here. Why isn't he here? Well, because he took a vacation day.
He had 2 weeks off and had a kid. I had like 2 days. Did you have the kid, Jay, or did your wife have the kid?
I think she had.
Anyway, he had a couple weeks there. He's had these long weekends extended into. He's had more time off than you and me combined in 2014. Don't know if you kept track.
That is true. Boy, there's some lean days in there.
Anyway, he usually sits on the other side and he doesn't pay attention. He's always uploading so that he doesn't have to stay here after the show.
But our young whippersnapper here is going to have to hang out a bit.
Young
Smitty.
Sean Smith. Sean C. Smith, I find out.
Yeah,
Sean C. Smith.
You were emailing some other Sean Smith our programming notes yesterday.
So I sent out an email. Okay, here's what's up for the show. Dude gets back to me this morning. I'm not sure if this was meant for me, but there might be some other Sean Smith that you're trying to...
I'm in HR in Toronto. I don't know why I'd be interested in your show lineup for Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it is.
And I can guarantee you, even though I'm just making it sound like he sounds like this, I guarantee you he does sound
he
like
sure
this.
He sure does.
Yes, he does.
Sean Smith.
It's 100% confirmed.
No C, just Sean Smith.
I'm Sean without a C.
So Sean with a C didn't get the notes.
That's right. What does the C stand for? You potty mouth. Let's get into it.
That's
Sean
aggressive.
C. Smith. Let's do it. Talk about. Yeah. The fan.
It's my favorite part.
Fan feedback line 960-960 from your mobile phone. Boomer just tuned in. Do the hockey stick guys have a website? You cheeky bat.
And also from the same cheeky point of view, Pinder, why don't you just call it the Mem Cup? Yeah, we went through that. We're not calling it that.
You should go back to changing crappy diapers and let Pinder host the show. Would be a minimal upgrade, but I'll take it. Nice videos on the weekend made me not want to have kids.
Oh,
well, I'll say this. You need to have sex to have a kid.
Oh, look at that.
You need to be able to find a girl.
See, you're coming
to
hard.
Have kids.
Old Sasktel's getting it on the chin here.
That's right, 306. You need to get a girlfriend first before you be having kids.
Not very nice.
I'm calling him a loser. Can you pick up on that? Yeah, that's what that, I'm trying to. That's what I'm trying to lay down.
I figured out.
Yeah. Hey, Boomer! Awesome stuff on Twitter last weekend. Couldn't stop checking my account all weekend. Good stuff. This, of course, the Vine videos that I was.
You looked miserable in every single one of them. Like you had aged a year between each Vine, even though they were like minutes apart.
Yeah, some of them were minutes apart. It's. But you know what? I'm very blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag rise and grind. Hashtag blessed to have my family and all of that.
And also...
And to have all three of them on my own for 4 days.
YOLO.
Yes, definitely YOLO. Does anybody still doubt Johnny Gaudreau? 9 points in the IIHF tournament. He leads the Americans for points, tied with Canada's most point...
Joel Ward.
And tied for third in the whole tournament for points. Wow, can't wait for this kid.
It's a good result. People very excited about it. From my Twitter account, MooseDog10 chiming in. If Gaudreau and Advanced Analytics were in a club, which one would Pinder hit on first? Ooh, hashtag sweatpants boner.
Man, that's a good question.
I would say...
Give me the question one more time.
So if Johnny Gaudreau and Advanced Analytics were in a club... Which one would I go to hit on first?
Wow. Watching you this morning, I think it might be Gaudreau. Okay. Like you were watching videos and talking to yourself.
I was just like, oh, that is filthy.
Oh, my God. Goodness. Oh, my God. Look at that toe drag.
Oh, he just walks.
Oh, my God. Take a look. Oh, my God. You're like,
under the arm.
Like you're talking to yourself about a guy playing hockey.
A magical. He's 150 pounds soaking wet. 155. Like this is. To do this against men is awfully impressive.
You know what you're going to do? Mm. You're going to ruin them.
Which just happened to Sven, right?
Just back off. Just ease up on the stick a little bit.
On the witch?
Oh, my God. This kid's the greatest. He's going to come. I can't wait for Cap. It's going to be so good. He's going to lead the league. Just please don't ruin him.
I'm not ruining him.
Just let him come to town and come to camp and try and play. And if he doesn't, don't jump off a bridge.
I've never been the jump-off-the-bridge guy. I've always been the preaching of the patience guy.
Yeah.
Is it nice to see this, or would you rather see him humming along
at fine.
0 points in the tournament?
It's fine. But
we don't have to rain on everything, right?
No, but you know what you can do? Have just a little bit of, and I know it's weird for you, just have a little bit of humility.
Okay.
Right? And just be, oh, you know what? That's pretty good. Well done.
And from the text line, if Johnny Hockey and Analytics were a club... Would Pat bring his laptop to the club?
Poor Pat. Listen, just leave poor Pat.
Leave
alone.
Patrice alone.
Again, 960-960 from your mobile phone. It's our fan feedback line. It's how you interact with what you want to talk about. Crosby and Malkin or Taves and Kane, which combo do you want on your team?
Well, you got to count rings at this point.
Well,
don't you?
Yeah. I mean, regular season, okay, there's some debate. Postseason, it seems like there's no debebate.
And on top of that, they're about $5 million cheaper, although they'll get new deals, it sounds like, once July 1st passes. They'll get some extensions that keep them in the Windy City long term. So they'll be more expensive, I imagine.
Boys, good to hear you after my long weekend. Get the word out that midget football semifinals this week and Airdrie Raiders are playing the Calgary Falcons Friday at 7. Come check out some great football. Doubt it. But I'll get it out there for you. I'm just being honest.
Wow, the Raiders. You can reach Boomer on Twitter at Fan960Boomer.
That's great. But what am I going to tell? Oh, see you there. No.
You've already got one night out this week. We know that.
Because yes.
You're going to go get your Boomer suite at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome for the Roughneck
game.
You've
been
flogging them all year.
Can we do that? Let's get a suite.
Let's get a Boomer suite.
Let's get a suite and we'll bring some people out. We'll
get a Boomer sized suite.
Calgary Flames Roughnecks, listen, get us a suite and let's do this upright.
That's right. And if you need a place for the drill crew, they can stop by too.
Don't be a pig. I saw Eddie Money saying two tickets to Paradise at a Ducks home opener. Worst thing I've listened to until this morning.
There you go. So, kind of lukewarm response on Eddie Money.
I guess
See, so. And I thought it was Eddie, what's his name? Electric Avenue.
Eddie.
We're going to rock down through Electric Avenue.
That's Eddie Grant.
And then we take it higher.
I thought that was the guy. I was really excited. That's... And then I'm like, oh, it's not that guy?
No.
Because that's a good song.
Boone Jenner, top prospect. Home hardware, close to home.
Boone Jenner! Not a Leaf. I don't care. I don't do it anymore. We really should start doing some Joe Bowen. What are they? Close to home. Top prospects.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Just woke up. Yaz, still losers.
You're waking up at 9:40 and we're the losers. Okay, we'll write that down.
What do you think if Johnny Gaudreau used a Raven stick?
Oh.
I mean, look out. Like, look out.
Oh, we got to get that text of the day.
Imagine, that's awesome. Right? I love how everyone's writing off the Habs. The Canadians can and will turn the series around now that the emotional letdown of beating the Bruins is over and reality is set in. It's going at least six, probably seven games, so shut up, Brunt.
All right. That is Michel Therrien from the text line.
Who are you cheering for? Who are you cheering for?
Now, do you dry clean to get the tears out of the Habs jersey, sure. Or do you just... Is it because the tears don't leave a stain? I don't know how that works.
I'm not sure. Hey, Boom, you missed out on the H beers in the last epic home Battle of Alberta Next game. You better be smashing them in Section 212 with us this weekend. Go, Next, go. Roughnecks at home this weekend against the Rochester Nighthawks. K-N-I-G-H-T.
It's like they're like a knight from the round table riding a hawk.
Nighthawks.
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know. I kind of miss Walker. You, Boom? No.
With more features in the Toyota RAV4, you have more ways to play.
All right.
Just throw that in anytime you feel like you want to, Sean.
If you have anything you want to tell us about
anytime,
any particular car,
if there's
let us know.
Something on YouTube that you just want to share with the audience.
That's Sean C. Smith.
By all means, just pump it right in. When are you having Neil... Oh, see, that's what...
Yeah, see, like 3 minutes ago, Jay would have been on this. That's what I'm talking about.
Oi! Well, he's only got one song.
That's a problem.
Only going to play it six times?
I'd be okay with that. I like that part.
Ho, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. We take it higher.
That's a great song.
Yeah, Eddie Money, it's his best. Yeah.
All right. I wish people would stop calling Gaudreau Johnny Hockey. It raises the bar pretty high for a guy that may or may not pan out at the pro level. Besides, if anyone's Johnny Hockey, it's Jonathan Toews. What hasn't that guy done? Best player of his generation, in my opinion. That from Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, I mean, not to...
He's not wrong at all.
Whatever he wants to do about calling Gaudreau. Yeah, I think Jonathan Toews, somehow, still underrated.
For sure.
Somehow still underrated. Gold medals, Stanley Cups, World Junior Gold.
What does he have to do, really? I mean, I suppose this is the only thing he doesn't do, is go out and have a 115-point season and win the scoring race running away, but it's just not what he is.
Hey, Boom, will I see you at NSD tonight? Tuesday's arms and back. You have your uvulus connected to your upper dorsimus. It's complicated, but it's my life.
Okay.
It's my life too, man.
I'm not sure about that.
It's my life too.
Loyal listener Tina from Midnapore wanting to know if you have any insights on the CFL negotiations.
Enough,
I know that,
Tina. Jesus, Tina,
you're ear to the ground on
Tina,
that.
Christ. Every day, Tina, enough. Jeez, put the phone down.
Tina, keep those texts coming.
Eddie Money, then Jim Rome. This is like Groundhog Day. I don't know if that's true.
You missed the FML part.
Oh, yeah, I did leave that part out.
Sorry about that. Does Alain Vigneault publicly thank the Canucks for firing him? Boy, is there a guy that is more happy about a change of scenery than that guy?
I'll say no. And I'm going to dial back, and I feel bad for doing this, because it seems like it's just easy to pile on you all the time.
That's all right.
And people do it.
Makes good radio.
We'll wrap it up today with this one, which really is more of a sweet tweet than it is a what you want to talk about. Pinder, shut up. Let Boomer talk and just do the updates. You're not funny or good at what you try to do.
You fail at life.
Have yourself a great remainder of your Tuesday.
I'm
we'll
gonna
be
go
back
cry.
Tomorrow. It's a Wednesday. We'll be live in location for the Special Olympics Breakfast of Champions at the TELUS Convention Center. We look forward to that. The Hockey Central at noon with Rob Kerr coming up, and the Jim Rome Show.